So today, for this latest podcast, which we've been promising for some time, we've got a bit of a panel with us today. So we're joined with from by Alex Blackwell. So hi, Alex, how are you doing?
Yeah, good day. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. And unfortunately, well, I'd say unfortunately, we're joined by Robin as normal, but Robin's in the car today.
How we doing, Ian? All right? I'm here. I'm one of the guys out there earning a crust today, Ian. Yeah, we're
Okay.
hard working hard. Aye,
Thank you
aye,
very much.
aye. Yeah, you sit in your nice air-conditioned office and all that with your, Marvel t-shirts on and all that. Yeah,
I
so
have actually got a Marvel t-shirt on, thank you very much.
yeah. Yeah, good. Aye, well, listen, I'll let you crack on with explaining who's here.
And also we're joined by Richard Lamborn from Swim England. Hi Richard, how are you doing?
Yeah, afternoon, Ian. How are you? I mean, Robin takes the mickey out of you sat there in your nice warm office. He's probably cruising in his Rolls Royce any through Glasgow at
Do you know what? Hey, listen, Richard. Nobody in
the
their right mind cruises through Glasgow with a Rolls Royce. Yeah, it's if I was in a Rolls Royce, I would be flying through Glasgow.
minute.
But I think everyone knows that I don't drive a Rolls Royce. I'm more of a Lamborghini guy. But as you can tell from the sound, I didn't bring my Lamborghini today. But yeah. No, listen, Ian. Is this a good time?
This is a good so guys, I'm gonna let we promised you on the last podcast for some exciting news, so off you go, Robin.
Right, panel today is Alex from Water Babies, Mr. Ogilvy that everyone knows from Mitchell and Ogilvy, myself, and Mr. Lamborn from Swim England. Can I say forward slash Richard Lamborn from Swim England forward slash OLM Consulting, yeah. Big news. Mitchell and Ogilvy are down the Swanee, and OLM have risen, and we are in business. We're just about to start taking the UK, sorry, globally, the world by storm when it comes to swimming pool water treatment and compliance and design specifications, amongst other things. And Richard is joining us. He still has a connection with Swim England. He still will be.
I think we're losing them here.
Retain.
That's the Rolls Royce in Glasgow, isn't
Yeah.
By Swim England, but he is now.
I think we've lost them a little bit in the car.
A director of oil.
I think what Robin's trying to say is there's three of us that are going to be equal directors of OLM. Richard's joining us. The truth of the matter is I was sick to death of putting up with Robin by myself. That's the real truth of the matter. So I thought I'm going to share the love a little bit, and Richard can have a small share of having to put up with
Funny
him.
you say that, Ian. That's
But
exactly what Robin said to me as well about you.
yeah, it probably is, to be fair.
I feel a bit left out here,
Yeah, Alex, when we put a B in it at some point in the future, then that's when it's going to change. So, guys, today really is to concentrate on something which Alex has undertaken, which is an actual energy survey. Now, in the press, we've seen lots of reports, and Alex, and I'm sure you've seen issues between very loads of, I don't want to name any of those companies, but lots of companies who have either shut up shop for the winter or turned down by a degree. And really, it was an early question that we were asking was, well, in actual fact, how much impact would turning down a degree have on a swimming pool, as a saving? Because that's what they're looking at as a saving against what they're spending just now. So, Alex, do you want to explain a little bit about the survey and how you conducted it?
Yeah, so what we were trying to do was just to give a balance for swimming schools so they could work out what they could save by turning the temperature down by a degree, but potentially, balance that with loss of income with pool hire because you might lose customers. So it's giving some clear data for swimming pools so they can calculate what the potential savings would be and offset that against potential loss of income through pool hire or general swimming, etc. So what we did was we got a pool and got to say thanks to SAS for allowing us to use her pool, because it's a nice standalone pool with a separate gas and electrical meter each. So it's just the pool and the changing room. So it was a nice, you know, closed site for the study. And what we did was basically for 5 days in the morning, took the meter reads, took pictures, took the water temperature, and it was running about just over 33 degrees for that week. And then at the end of the day on the Friday, they turned the temperature down by a degree, and then we did the same thing again, just took the meter reads on the Monday morning, and at the end of the week on the Friday, and just compared really what was the difference in energy consumption.
Can I just make clear as well, because I can see lots of questions being asked straight away. So the reason why we selected this particular pool was because it is literally just a pool and some changing rooms. There's no dance studio, there's no gym, there's no, you know, no ancillary facilities. Plus, as part of this study, we also had timed backwashes. So we backwashed for the exact same length of time by stopwatch to make sure that those would be equal each week as part of the periphery of what we were doing. It's very much almost a fixed bather load, this pool, because this pool is just particularly used for water babies, and they have the same class numbers coming in roughly week in, week out, with the exception of the odd person phoning in sick, so to speak. We also put a little comparison in for the weather. So we looked at the weather over the 5 days. Alex, is that fair as well?
Yeah, we just mapped it, put it into the chart, worked out the averages,
To try and show you that. And we used an independent website to be able to do that, a weather recording website to be able to do that. That's really about it. And the other parameter which we kept the same, which we are looking at future studies, and we'll put a little plug in now, shall we, Alex? We're looking for pools to contact us who are willing to volunteer with this. And guys, you don't have to put your temperature down necessarily to do this study. You can actually put it up if you chose. So you're not going to necessarily annoy people for a week. So you can put it same for a week and then up for a week. Other things that we thought about was at the end of week one, when they turned the temperature down in this particular case, they did it after the last read on the Friday. So the pool would re-customize at the start over the weekend to get to the new temperature and sort of cool down, so to speak, and then take the first read back on the Monday and run back through at the same time reading on the Friday. So the first reading was always taken at the same time at the start of that 5 day period against the last read as well. The last parameter as well, we did not change the air handling settings as part of this. I think it's fair to say, isn't it, to keep that, to be quite transparent and honest. So initially we didn't change the air handling settings, but we are looking at studies where we're messing around with that as well. But we're going to have a little look at it today. So Alex, do you want to have a, because if anyone's watching this on YouTube, because we do put it on YouTube, you can have a little show of the spreadsheet, can we?
I'll bring it up. Let's have a look.
And we'll talk our way through this for Richard and Robin, who's joining us from the car, because guys, please don't try and read this while you're driving.
Do my best.
Do your best.
Can you see that?
Yeah, we can see that. Alex, so just firstly, do you want to tell us the sizes of the pool, and just to give you the people out there, because they're all probably asking, was it a leisure pool? Was it a 25-meter pool? You know, what was it? So what's
It's pretty much, it's just a warm 12 by 4.5 meter pool, from 1.1 meters to 1.3 meters deep. It's a high-sided pool.
Yeah. The pool as well, guys, just its heating system is actually integrated in a Heat Star unit. Just to make that clear as well, we have got photos of the plant rooms and stuff, so we can actually look at what was there. So talk us through it, Alex. What happened?
Yeah, so basically what we had here were the meter reads for week one. So they used 160.58 cubic meters of gas in the first week, and then we added up the use of the gas and the electric, and compared it to the following week. So the following week, they only used 148.5 cubic meters of gas, but the electric was about the same. I'm just taking out two figures here just because they're anomalies. So Yeah, so essentially the gas was the big change. The electric, there was a very little change. It wasn't huge, you know. That was the key driver there. So it worked out for us, if I scroll down here, we worked out on what the energy tariffs were, you know, a year or two ago. So 2021 costs, where gas per kilowatt hour is about 4p and electricity about 20p. So it was, we compared the gas usage, and the second week there was only 148.5 cubic meters of gas used compared to 160. So we put in the kilowatt hours used, which was 4p per kilowatt for gas we used back in 2021 and 20p for electric, and that worked out there roughly about just under £11,000 the estimated costs were to heat the pool for a year. And then what we did was we calculated the use to heat the pool at 1 degree less. So in 2021 that would have only saved around just under £400. However, if you go on the current prices with the current government price cap, so that's roughly 10 pence per kilowatt hour for gas and about 31p per kilowatt hour for electric, it's jumped to just under 21,000 for to heat the pool at the current cost. And it saved around just under £1,000 for a degree to turn it down by a degree. And then we looked at the cost potentially, what they could be after the price cap is removed. But actually, the wholesale prices are coming down now and they're pretty much in line with the price cap. So what we're hoping is there's not going to be such a jump in April. Things seem to be levelling off. So as long as there's not a real heavy cold snap or other shocks to the market, you know, we might be lucky. So the projection could be quite high if the costs carried on going up exponentially, up to, you know, up to, from about £21,000 a year to heat to £50,000 a year. But at the moment, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, you know, fingers crossed, if the prices and wholesale prices keep coming down, the costs are going to stay similar to the current price cap prices. Taking that in mind, what you're looking at, by turning it down a degree in this pool, it saved them about £1,000 a year, which worked out about 4.5%. The actual kilowatt hours in use, it's about 4.85% in actually kilowatt hours, but on cost difference, you're looking around 4.5% saving by that 1 degree over the year.
Okay. So, Alex, just a question, because I can see that the weather reports are on there as well. So, yeah. Just so again for transparency, what was the average sort of temperature for week one compared to week two?
Yes, the average temperature for week one was 10.7 degrees, and the average temperature for week two was 13.3. So week two was slightly warmer, so that could have had an impact as well and saved a bit of energy.
And it's interesting there, especially on week one, Alex, it's because modelling for the UK, when you take average UK external temperature, they actually use the figure of 10 degrees. Mm-hmm. So week one is almost a bang-on model for that. So Richard, how does that compare? Because I know that myself, me and you looked at some very early figures for Swim England some time ago now.
Yeah, I think that pretty much correlates to our sort of theoretical predictions when we did it in theory, was that, you know, typically we were saying about 5% maximum rate. I did have a question. I don't know, because I'm obviously driving, whether I'm picking up a little bit. But Alex, did you measure the temperature of the source water at each week, or just the outside air?
No, we didn't. We just did through the weather app, the outside average temperatures. We didn't measure the source water. But what we did was make sure.
I wouldn't imagine within a week that would change at all. You know, maybe by a couple of percentage points of a degree, but yeah, very minor.
But it
definitely correlates over. It's an exceptional piece of work, and I think it does. It does so far, anyway, at least as we know for that temperature, it does sort of prove that those savings aren't as significant that we've been saying and talking about. And I'm sure Alex will elaborate more on the savings being the potential loss in income through the consumer. You know, obviously, we know that customers want warmer water. You know, from our days of operating, it's one of the biggest questions and challenges that we always got from our customers.
Alex, is that a liner pull?
It's a high-sided pull. I think it's a liner pull.
Okay.
I'd have to check. Don't quote me on it.
I think it is, Rob, and I've seen it once before. It's a walled pull concrete breeze block system with a liner in it. And to be fair, the pool system is a slightly older facility, isn't it, Alex? So the insulation techniques of the building itself and how it is, isn't, you know, could be better, but I'm sure that's true of just about every pool. They could be better in almost every pool, that insulation could be loads better in it. But that's sort of where that pool is, so to speak. Now, as well, we are looking...
Yeah, just to add to that point, when you talk about this pool and you know, the capacity of this tank, you would expect then in that instance that actually the less efficient the tank is at retaining heat, the bigger the saving would be made. So that would translate over to sort of a newer facility, the saving would be significantly lower, in my opinion, than for the 4.8 to 5%. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, no, I'd agree because that the system will have better insulation. They'll probably have less evaporation of the system. We've just today, myself and Alex, spoken to another pool who fantastic news. They've volunteered, put their hand up. They're gonna look at this as well. We're gonna add in water meterage, hopefully, to try and look at evaporation rates to see if it made a difference for that 1 degree difference. And next week we're speaking to some 25 meter pools as well. And hopefully they're very keen to do this with us. So we're wondering, especially we're also going to take into account age of building and just a rough estimation of the size of the pool, is if this percentage will remain constant through different facilities or, you know, different builds, how much glazing they've got, that sort of thing. But I've got to say, and we are, thank you, Saz, again, and I do know Saz along, Alex, that trying to get someone to volunteer to drop a degree is incredibly hard. Very, very hard.
I think it would be really interesting to establish different types of pools as well, Ian. You know, especially in the kind of hydrotherapy side of it, because obviously there's a lot of swimming pools that are maybe the stainless steel, the liner pools, tile pools, and the hydrotherapy side that there might be different. It'd be interesting to see if there was differences, and they might be a wee bit more willing to drop their temperature from 35 to 34. I don't know that you know, as opposed to from 29 to 28, you might find there's a bit more scope for people to make an adjustment at the higher temperatures, and it'd be interesting to see if there's a difference in the pool types. I don't know. I mean, that's all depending on who sticks their hands up, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, completely. And we don't think you can fairly compare two pools, you know, to each other. You know, one pool will have a pool cover, the next pool will cover one. One could be using gas as their system to heat, the another could be using an air source heater or potentially using electric or solar. It's more about let's see what this difference is and see if we can get, and obviously this would benefit Richard massively, if we, some pools were as little as 3%, some pools were as much as, I don't know, 6%, then at least we'd have an industry average. I've been able to say, well, 1 degree will drop, you know, somewhere between 3 and 6% as an industry average. And it may be a case of, we do end up getting a bit of research where we can show that newer pools, in actual fact, as we would probably predict, Richard, are much, much lesser a saving by that 1 degree drop.
Yeah, and as we know, we can't be, you know, can't be accurate for, you know, It's an average, like you said, it's an industry average, and it gives an indication. We're not going to get every facility to require.
What's interesting, I spoke to another pool operator today, and it was a hydrotherapy pool, and I gave him the gas usage for this study, and they had solar water heaters on the roof.
Negating the savings with the piece of work you're doing.
Sorry, Richard, I was talking over him, but I don't think he could hear me. Yeah, so I was speaking to another operator today who had a hydrotherapy pool, and I showed him the gas use from this study, And interestingly, he had solar water heaters on the roof for that facility, and his gas use was half this pool, you know, and that's just one example of the difference. And obviously, it's better insulated, it's breeze block brick compared to this facility. But it was interesting just to show the different superstructure of the building, plus the solar water heating halved his gas consumption. So we're trying to get as many pools on board as possible so we can give, you know, pool operators clear data so they can make an informed decision over pool temperature compared to customer comfort and potential loss of income with pool hire.
I mean, that's it. I mean, certainly if pool A turns its temperature down by a degree, let's say, and pool B doesn't, and obviously customers can vote with their feet, is it a case of that pool A will, you know, lose X amount of customers, but they've only made a 4% saving hypothetically, and in actual fact there's been more customers travel with their feet that's actually lost them, I don't know, £500 of the income of month, but the actual saving is potentially less than that, so they've actually ended up worse off, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Ian, because you go back to some of the health clubs who are thinking about switching their spas off, and how many members are they going to lose? And is switching their spas off actually really going to offset the loss of income? And then there's the perception from the customer as well, and there's the long-term effects. So there's a lot of that to have a look at. But what, you know, that, you know, if it can contribute to a massive saving, then brilliant. But then if it's actually compromising the business, then we need to look at alternative ways of saving energy.
And that's such an important point, Robin, because I think you can look at variable speed drives. Ian's got some information with variable speed drives, can save a significant amount of money on electricity. Pool covers, again, significant savings potentially. You know, so there's lots of other ways that you can reduce your energy, reduce your carbon footprint, which is really important, and balance it with what temperature's right for you and your customers and your hirers.
100%, Alex, because what the industry is obviously panicking, and people are just thinking, oh, I need to do this, turn my pool water temperature down 1 degree. But what the industry really needs is some really, really good advice from whoever, you know, stakeholders within the industry that are energy focused, you know, consultants, suppliers, companies, whoever, that can actually say, well, do you know what? This is where I would start. You know, if you've got variable speed drives, if you don't, then great. This will save you approximately X amount. If you've got a pool cover, if you great. If you've not, then a pool cover will save you X amount. And there needs to be some sort of assessment of what techniques can do what roughly. You're not going to get exact, but you're going to get roughly. I mean, it would be great if that came from the trust. I know they did that with pool covers, but I think we need to update or bring those kind of figures into the now, the 2022, as in where we're at in terms of price per kilowatt and such like, and what pools are achieving now. And people are just looking for some sort of advice and some sort of expertise and just a direction of which way to go. We see that in the Facebook page a lot, Ian, don't we? Yeah. People saying, oh, we've turned it down 1 degree. And they're not really doing it. They're just doing it thinking they're saving energy, but they're not actually realising the overall impact of what they're doing. But they have to do something because they've got to save energy.
I think there's another spin on this as well, certainly from some pools aspects. And Alex and Robin, you can give me your thoughts on this, where if pools have a slightly different thought process in their marketing, where they now, certainly in a public pool, become the warm space that a lot of places have been talking about, a lot of councils have been talking about having these warm spaces for people who can't necessarily afford to heat their home, you know what I mean? So yep. if we sort of say our local pool is the warm space, you know, would that necessarily encourage the individual to say, I don't know, a cup of tea and a swim, £2? Because I'd rather have £2 than have no quid, if you know what I mean, because I'm open anyway. So rather than have 4 swimmers just going up and down the pool, why don't we have 10?
And you could do that at certain times of the day, and you know, it's going to capture certain user groups that are in need of that, you know?
What do you think, Al? Would that be something that would be...
I think anything that can support pool operators in these challenging times is important, really. And I think the quick wins that are possible, you know, LED lighting, variable speed drives aren't necessarily quick to implement. But what was that case study you did with variable speed drives?
So, yeah, so I have a local charity pool very close to me. I've got a bit of a relationship with them, and I know a couple of people who work there, and I've known them for several years. And it's a local charity pool for people with MS. And they approached me to do a design specification for them. And Robin will kill me if I'll say this, Alex, but I'm going to say it anyway. I did all the work for them for free. I didn't charge them because it was a charity and they're local, and it's only a few miles from my house, like literally 2.5-3 miles. They raised a fund, a pot of money, to put together some improvements to the plant. It was four things. Yes, UV, magnetic flow rate meter, new dosing unit, and variable speed drive. So if we just ignore the UV and the new dosing unit a second, then we just concentrate on the magnetic flow rate meter and the variable speed drive. So all in all, that work was about £6,000 or £7,000. I think it was about 6.5. Remember rightly, just for the variable speed drives and the flow rate meters. And we realized now we had a really accurate flow rate meters, we could now start to mess around with variable speed drives. So we did. And the site was delighted to report back to me that they've now got an estimated annual saving of £15,000 a year. And that was on about a £6,500 investment. And obviously, Alex, the investment's been accelerated, you know what I mean, because the energy price went up, so the payback got quicker. So there's, I know it's horrible the prices went up, but it was a bit of a win-win for them. And we're actually now moving on to the next project with them, which is because it's a charity, we have to raise the money, which is a pool cover. And I think what it was they came to me, Alex, because they wanted a targeted approach, as in we've only got so much money, which will get us the biggest saving quickest can we do right now. And I think that was key.
And remind me then, if pool covers next, just remind me the science behind pool covers, why are they so helpful? I mean, I know it's obvious to me, it just retains heat, but it's not that. So
it's not just heat retention, but it's also evaporation. I mean, if you took an average pool cover over the course of a year and kept on putting it on, evaporation alone is something like 15% during the evenings. So you lose about 15% more as in not having a pool cover. And the problem you get with that is by putting in fresh water, and Richard alluded to this before, he's come back now, is the fresh water comes in at a colder temperature. So it's got to be taken from, 10, 12 degrees up to your 29, 30, 31, 32, depending what type of pool you are. So that's a big energy hit at that point. But the second thing is when the pool is physically covered and the heat is retained, if you have got programmable HVAC systems, so heat and ventilation, air conditioning system, you can turn the air temperature down. So the theory is the pool cover goes on at 10 o'clock tonight, the air temperature will drop probably down to round about somewhere between 21 to 23 degrees Celsius. And then maybe at 5 a.m. before you open at 6, the HVAC system will ramp back up to roughly your 30 degrees Celsius, if you just do that as an example. And you get that possibly 8-9 degree saving of temperature a night, so to speak. So after roughly...
That's where the biggest saving is to be made, isn't it? Air temperature being dropped, because there was a study carried out by the Carbon Trust to a pool cover that was put on at the Sir Matt Busby swimming pool in Bells Hill. And they figured out that if you did all that, reduce your air temperature right down, along with the pool cover, along with the evaporation, you could, on an old-style pool, because that's a freeboard old-style pool, save up to 20% on your entire energy budget. Now, that's going back a wee bit now, but that might even still apply because of the electricity rates, and it was based on a very old-style freeboard pool. But that's still a lot. Even if you can save 10%, that's a saving, you know. 20% is brilliant.
What we found is there's a spreadsheet that's been provided to us from a colleague where you can calculate the potential savings with a pool cover. And as Ian's alluded to, due to the additional cost, the payback time's now within a year or two, where it used to be 5-6 years for payback for the pool cover.
Yeah.
Richard, are you with us? You're on mute, I think. Who knows? I don't want him to crash the car. certainly. The interesting thing out there as well is the actual cost of, although equipment has went up in general through our industry, the cost of a pool cover hasn't actually risen that quickly, to be fair. So because the energy price was outstripped, it rising much faster, the actual payback in pool covers has got a lot quicker. I mean, generally, on a pool cover, most of the time, you're looking roughly a payback period of about somewhere around about 18 months to potentially 2.5 years, depending on the size of the pool and whatever you might have. It's certainly my option. I mean, I think the two biggest for me, and I think Robin will probably agree with me, is the potential for variable speed drives. But I've got to stress, you have to have an accurate flow rate meter to be able to do this. And secondly, pool covers. Those are the two big wins straight away for me in a swimming pool, I think.
I would add to that, a couple of clients I've worked with, and see when they put in a BMS system, a proper BMS system that can highlight where there are losses of water, you know, a leaking tap, or even measuring water that's at a swimming pool, the actual water meters. If you can establish that problem early, then you can save a lot of money by reducing waste. And that is one of the massive savings that they managed to achieve in Edinburgh Leisure when they put a BMS in. They were able to establish there's a problem here, there's a problem there, long before you would normally have established these problems, because they're able to measure the performance. And that's massive, Ian, having a decent BMS. I would say the VSDs absolutely save a fortune, and the pool covers are a no-brainer in any pool, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, Alex, we're really looking for what? We're looking for pools that are, well, willing to do this, aren't we, to sort of join the club. I mean, certainly if we can get, what, up to what, potentially, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 pools to get some sound data or data.
And then what we'll be able to do with that is give a far more concrete sort of like figure, you know, turning it down a degree will save you between, you know, 4-5%. We need to refine that a bit more. You know, we've only done one pool and it's about 4.85% saving 1 degree. So what we want to do is see with other pools, and then what that will do is help operators make an informed decision on temperature versus cost versus income, you know.
Richard, are you there with us or not? Can you unmute yourself? I don't know if he's joined us or not.
I think he needs to rejoin.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's with us. He's there.
I'm here. Sorry. Yeah, firing up the M5. So it's a bit in and out. So I do apologise.
Richard, I was floating an idea there. I think you maybe missed it.
Was there a direct question?
Well, I was floating an idea that maybe you missed it, that maybe pools need to have a slightly different approach to this, potentially advertising themselves as a warm space. You know, you see a lot of councils now saying we've got warm spaces like libraries and various other things. So, you know, maybe that's something that they should consider thinking. We're a warm space, you know, come and have a cup of tea and a swim for a couple of quid. What do you think? We'll continue on, Alex. I think we've lost them.
Yeah, we've lost them. So, yeah, so any pools that want to come on board just to help us, because we want to help pools save money, we want to help pools be more efficient, but you also want to help pools maintain and keep their customers and their pool hires as well. So it's just getting that information so informed decisions can be made. Because at the moment, you know, what we don't want is like knee-jerk reactions. We need to find ways to balance energy use and support, you know, the users of the facilities as well. It's so important.
No, definitely. So please, you know, if any of them contact us through the Facebook page or sort of comment on when this post goes out, it's pretty simple to get a hold of myself, Robin or Richard. Just say I'm willing to take part. Great. And hopefully when we do have more polls and more sound data, we'd like to share it, so to speak, to have a summary almost of what it is, rather than the actual individual data and stats. And besides, more polls that close, Alex, that means that me and you are out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, joking aside, that is scary. You know, pools shut, people can't learn to swim, it is frightening. It is, we really need to do what we can to support the pools. But yeah, me and you would be out of a job as well, which would be a problem.
Yeah, that, I can always paint walls.
Yeah.
It would mean less podcasts.
Yes, or more.
but not about pools.
Yeah, there's a threat. More podcasts.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I've got to thank you for coming on today. So this is sort of our early results. Robin, have we got anything else you want to add from your Rolls-Royce in Glasgow?
I wish. Listen, I think I have to take my hat off to Alex for managing to get the ball rolling with us. And I think the industry's crying out for some decent data, even if it's raw data, just for some guidance to point them in the right direction. And I think this is all very, very good and valuable work. So well done to Alex, and hopefully we can help him build on it.
I can't take all the credit. There's some colleagues that asked me to do it, and the team, to say what can we do to support the industry. So I'd like to take all the credit, but I can't.
I'd like to not thank you for the amount of time and evenings I've spent working on the spreadsheets for this, by the way.
I'd just like to add to that as well. I think
we all
came together in COVID to undertake the research project that we did then, and just showing really that the people around the room, in the room, that we are trying to lead in both the industry with this sort of information, again, same as what we've been in COVID. And it'd be nice for some other groups maybe to join us and support us as well in taking the research if possible.
No, thank you, Richard. No, that's right. Perfect. So, guys, it's set. Go on, Alex. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say thank you.
Goodbye from us for this week. And hopefully, I'm going to make the other two come into the actually be working from home next time. So, we've got a better connection, which might be. Robin, I'm guessing. It's a goodbye from you.
It's a goodbye from me, and a goodbye from OLM Consulting and Alex Blackwell. There we go.
Should it not be a goodbye from Mitchell Nogilvy, as in it's done?
Aye, it's a get it right up you from Mitchell and Ogilvy. We're now OLM Consulting.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers.
Right. Yeah.